redistribution of wealth would be good. So too a reliable power grid, a spirit of racial reconciliation, and, some would argue, a president who shows leadership. But what South Africa truly needs, my exhaustive research has determined, is IKEA. This is not a variation on Thomas Friedman's Golden Arches theory of conflict prevention, which holds that no two countries with a McDonald's franchise have ever gone to war with each other. More prosaically, it means that furniture sold in South Africa is either expensive or tat. I've shopped in the malls that service the middle class and found furniture wildly more costly than in Britain or America. A basic bed or sofa can cost several hundred pounds. I've also tried discount stores in working-class areas of Johannesburg, such as Alexandra or Newtown, where cheap and flimsy tables, chairs and beds appear one sneeze away from collapse. So my memo to Sweden is that IKEA can and should fill a yawning chasm between these two extremes. The flat-pack furniture specialist, which took Britain by storm, would make a killing in South Africa, especially among the upwardly mobile, migrating from townships to suburbs. There are other examples of price inflation in a country where online shopping is still a tiny minority pursuit. Televisions, DVD players, and other electronics take a heavy toll on the wallet, presumably at least partly because of the cost of shipping. Appliances such as fridges and washing machines also compare unfavourably. The cost of travel to the rest of the continent comes to many as an unpleasant surprise. There are budget airlines, but for the majority of destinations, Southern Africa is a long way from discovering a Michael O'Leary. Johannesburg to Harare and neighbouring Zimbabwe, that'll often be about £300. On the other hand, a taxi ride in Johannesburg is certainly less expensive than its notorious London or New York counterparts, although the driver's knowledge is more suspect. You get what you pay for. Property is also predictably cheaper than in the world's megacities, though don't forget to factor in the costs of electrified fencing and 24-hour armed security. The price of supermarket shopping is roughly the same. South Africa has a chain called Woolworths that has nothing to do with the now-defunct British stores of the same name. Instead, it has a relationship with Marks & Spencer that is evident in the floor layouts and product packaging. Another chain, Pick & Pay, is probably somewhere between Sainsbury's and Asda. The biggest saver for foreigners coming to next month's World Cup, however, will be in restaurants, where a main course and glass of wine can be had for about the same as a London starter. As a steak eater, I'm in the right place, paying the equivalent of little more than £10 for a 300-gram fillet. But this does raise another question. Are the restaurants any good? It's a regular theme among expats I know. "Oh no," said a friend at a recent dinner party. "Are you guys having the 'why are there no decent restaurants in Joburg' conversation again?" There's something of a Johannesburg versus Cape Town divide here. S. Pellegrino's recently published World's 50 Best Restaurants lists two from South Africa, La Colombe at number 12, Le Quartier Français at number 31, both in or near Cape Town and the Winelands. The City of Gold, however, has a less than golden reputation for food, its range failing to match the cosmopolitanism of a city that still draws dreamers and fortune seekers from all over Africa. I do have some favourites. The best ambience is surely to be found at Womble's, a steakhouse in Parktown with deep red walls, sturdy high-backed chairs and furnishings, pressed ceilings and candlelight that makes the experience both intimate and communal at the same time. Stepping through the front gate and garden and onto the veranda is like entering someone's quaintly charming and slightly eccentric home. The steaks and oysters are equally satisfying at the Rosebank Grillhouse, which does a fair impression of a classic New York steakhouse and is attached to the buzzing Katz's Cigar Bar. For something that feels and tastes French, the elegant Auberge Michel in Santon gives the full herbed snails and roasted frog's legs treatment. For a good view and sushi, I'd vote for Bice, part of the Italian chain at the Southern Sun Hyde Park Hotel. Signature, inside the Morningside Shopping Centre in Santon, also overlooks the city and entertains with live blues and jazz. Downtown there is the stylish Narina Trogon, attempting to lead and benefit from the social regeneration of Braamfontein. But none of these is especially South African or African. In Newtown, there is Gramadolas, which bills itself as exotic African, with a menu including pumpkin pritters, mealy bread, Cape Dutch chicken pie, and malva pudding. The atmosphere is strong inside the old fruit and veg market, alongside the market theatre. Former patrons include the Queen, Nelson Mandela, and Sir Elton John. There are other pockets of excellence, including a Chinatown, but it still has some way to go to live up to its world-class city mantra in culinary matters. I do recall, however, that IKEA has a strong line in ice cream and hot dogs for a quid.